Thank you. Brothers and sisters, you are invited to rise for the votum and salutation. Our help is in the name of the Lord who made heaven and earth. Amen. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. We will now sing together Psalm 122, stanza 1. Now listen to the declaration of God's 10 covenant words, and thereafter sing together Psalm 98, the stanzas 1 and 2. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is the earth beneath, or that is the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them. For I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and the fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands, to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work. The seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work. You, nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your male servant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife. Nor his male servant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor anything that is your neighbor's. At a later time when our Lord Jesus Christ was here on earth, You put these commandments together and repeated them by saying it in this way. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your might. This is the first and great commandment. And the second, which is like it, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. These two commandments depend all the law and the prophets. We will now unite in prayer. Almighty, faithful God and Father, indeed, we praise and glorify you for your majesty and holiness. We adore you for the great victory that you have obtained through your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you that it is in that context that we may be gathered here together as your people and children. We thank you, Lord, for the great blessing of redemption and salvation. We thank you because we know that in various ways we have transgressed your commandments and have not served you according to your will. And even after you have redeemed us, we have not always shown honor to you as we should have. We pray, Lord, that you will continue to look upon us in your great mercy. Forgive us our many sins and trespasses. We thank you that we may call upon you in this way with confidence, confidence that you will look upon us as a father, that you will continue to show your great mercy to us, and that we may be here gathered together as your children. We acknowledge we do not deserve this rich blessing. We acknowledge your steadfast love and great patience that you have shown towards us. We pray, Lord, now that we are gathered here together as your people, you will strengthen and encourage us through the opening and proclamation of your word. Grant that that word may be brought in a clear way and be with each one of us. Grant that we may understand what is being said. Keep us far from every distraction. Strengthen us that we may concentrate on you and the great message of salvation. We pray, Lord, that you will hear us in all these things, not because we are worthy. We call upon you in the name of our Redeemer and Savior, Christ Jesus. Amen. You're now given the opportunity to bring your offerings to the Lord, which today is for the support of deacon work. After the offertory, we will sing together Psalm 121, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, and 4. We now open God's Word. This morning we turn to the book of Revelation. Our text is chapter 5, but to read our text in this context, we read chapter 4 as well. In this book, Revelation, the Lord reveals himself in a particular way to the Apostle John. He is exiled on the island of Patmos. And after the introductory words and the Lord showing himself in a vision, had directed the Apostle John to write letters to the seven churches of Asia Minor. Now, chapter 4 begins right after he is told what to put into these letters. Here we read, "After these things I looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And the first voice which I heard was like a trumpet speaking with me, saying, Come up here, and I will show you things which must take place after this. Immediately I was in the Spirit, and behold, a throne set in heaven, and one sat on the throne. And he who sat there was like a jasper and a sardius stone in appearance. And there was a rainbow around the throne in appearance like an emerald. Around the throne were 24 thrones, and on the thrones I saw 24 elders sitting, clothed in white robes, and they had crowns of gold on their heads. And from the throne proceeded lightnings, thunderings, and voices. Seven lamps of fire were burning before the throne, which are the seven spirits of God. Before the throne there was a sea of glass like crystal, and in the midst of the throne and around the throne were four living creatures full of eyes in front and in back. The first living creature was like a lion, the second living creature like a calf, the third living creature had a face like a man, and the fourth living creature was like a flying eagle. And the four living creatures, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. Whenever the living creatures give glory and honor and thanks to him who sits on the throne, who lives forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before him who sits on the throne and worship him who lives forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, You are worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for you created all things, and by your will they exist and were created. Our text, chapter 5. And I saw in the right hand of him who sat on the throne a scroll written inside and on the back, sealed with seven seals. Then I saw a strong angel proclaiming with a loud voice, Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? And no one in heaven, or on the earth, or under the earth, was able to open the scroll or to look at it. So I wept much because no one was found worthy to open and read the scroll or to look at it. But one of the elders said to me, "Do not weep. Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals." And I looked, and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders, stood a lamb as though it had been slain, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God sent out into all the earth. Then he came and took the scroll out of the right hand of him who sat on the throne. Now when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sang a new song, saying, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth." Then I looked, and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000 and thousands of thousands, saying with a loud voice, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing. And every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing and honor and glory and power be to him who sits on the throne and to the Lamb forever and ever." Then the four living creatures said, "Amen." And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. Beloved congregation of our Lord Jesus Christ, when the Apostle John was shown these visions, one might say that the churches had been quite well established already. After the Lord Jesus had completed his work here on earth, the apostles, according to his command, went to preach the gospel in various places. As a result, the Lord had granted the blessing that men believed and were gathered together in his name. Beginning of these visions, the apostle has shown how the Lamb is there in the midst of these churches depicted like seven candles, and the Lamb is in their midst. Having seen this, the Apostle John gives praise and honor to him. And God is glorified for being the first and the last everything. He's the one who has accomplished all this. Then, one might say, the apostle is directed to focus on the reality of this life here on earth and among the churches. He writes letters to these churches, putting down that what the Lord tells him to. These letters reflect how there are indeed churches, but great and difficult struggles among them. They struggle to remain faithful to the Lord God. One might even wonder whether they can hold their own. However, upon having written these letters, we're told that the Lord, by these visions, again directs John's focus into heaven. Chapter 4, we are told how after these things he looked, and behold, a door standing open in heaven. And he hears a voice, like a trumpet, directing him to come there. At the end of verse 1, we read of chapter 4, I will show you things which must take place after this. The way this translated, the impression may be given that he is to look at things that will take place subsequent to the events that he has already been shown and these letters that have been written. However, it could also mean, and we suggest this meaning, I will show you things behind the wall that you cannot really see. Here on the other side, here in heaven. The way it is formulated here may be compared to, for example, what we are told in the book of Job. Hopefully you all know the history revealed in the book of Job. There we are told how Satan had come before God's throne and suggested that it was for no reason, that it was a good reason that Job served the Lord because he had been given everything. And Satan suggests to the Lord, take everything away from him and then see how Job will respond. The Lord indeed tests Job in this way. The point right now is that when Job was being tested and his friends began speaking, at the time they did not know Satan's challenge because Satan was behind the scenes. That is what John is now also being shown. For John was on the island of Patmos. He was exiled because of the faith, persecuted, could not openly and freely continue to proclaim the gospel of salvation. And he is directed to write these letters to the seven churches where there are struggles and dangers and even concern about their very continuing existence. And therefore, it is indeed beautiful that the Lord now directs John by way of these visions into heaven itself and showing him what is really there. And there he is shown the Lord God. He's shown God in his majesty and glory. The way he is shown, even though it is not exactly the same, it's a parallel to how the Lord had appeared among his people in the temple, first in the tabernacle, later in the temple in Jerusalem. There are various motifs that run parallel. A particular way we think of the rainbow, reflecting the Lord's promise made in the days of Noah, that he would not destroy this world. We also notice that in that context, the Lord is being adored for being the creator, the mighty creator of heaven and earth. Told in verse 8 about the four living creatures. They do not rest day or night saying, "Holy, holy, holy, Lord God Almighty." Adoring him for his might, for his majesty, for who he is from eternity, who was and who is, continues to exist, and who is to come, continues into the present. And again, the 24 elders that fall down, maybe suggested here, 12 tribes, Israel, 12 apostles of the New Testament church, church of all ages, acknowledging and knowing God. And again, notice that the focus is on how he is worthy. He is God, worthy to receive glory and honor and power. Why? Because you created all things, God, in his might and majesty as the creator. He brought everything into existence. By your will, they exist and were created. Then, the chapter, our text, begins by telling us that at the right hand of him who sat on the throne, there is a scroll written inside and on the back. The Apostle John's attention is directed to this scroll. Makes us wonder what it is really about. Because attention is given to it. Your attention this morning is directed in a particular way to that scroll. And like will be shown, we may notice that it is really the gospel of salvation that becomes evident by way of this scroll. When the scroll receives attention, the question arises concerning opening it. And the second place, concerning one who can actually do so. And the third place, gratitude that is shown for the fact that it has been opened. So let me sum up. We listen to what the Lord teaches us in Revelation chapter 5. Paying attention to the gospel as revealed by the sealed scroll, we pay attention, first of all, to the need for this scroll to be opened. Secondly, the one found to open this scroll. And the third place, the gratitude at finding him. What really is this scroll about? We're told that it is written on both sides, the back and the front. It is a full book. But we are not told what is written in it. It has seven seals. A very well protected scroll. May be helpful to explain that a bit further. It was done more commonly in those days that messages would be sent from a king to the army. When such a message was sent, it would be very carefully sealed. But the point was that it would contain the battle plans. And if an enemy got hold of this scroll, read it, knew the battle plans, then one might become scared. Enemy knows the plans, therefore the plans could be resisted. Counter plans could be made against it. Battle is prone to fail. When such scrolls were sent to the army, part of the messenger's job to make sure that it was delivered intact. And when the captain of the army took the scroll into his hands, he would carefully check all the seals to make sure that it had not been tampered with. If there had been any tampering with it, he would throw it aside, maybe even burn it up, because the enemy had gotten hold of the plans. It is only the captain who has the right and authority to open these seals. A strong angel, we are told, proclaiming with a loud voice, "Who is worthy to open the scroll and to loose its seals? Who is the captain here? Who is the one that can lead the armies to victory and apply these battle plans?" Initially, because in our text we are specifically told there was no one in heaven or on the earth or under the earth who was able to open the scroll or to look into it. The Apostle John, witnessing this, we're told, wept much because there was no one found worthy. Wept much. One can understand his weeping when considering the struggles that the Apostle John knew was taking place here on this earth. What would become of these churches if there is no one worthy to open the battle plans and implement them, give guidance so that they may be carried out in its complete measure. To the question of who may open this scroll and is worthy to do so, one may think of how the Lord had taught us, for example, in Psalm 24, that the question is asked, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Or who may stand in his holy place? What is the answer? He who has clean hands and a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to an idol, nor sworn deceitfully, he shall receive blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. But who is that man that can stand before the Lord with clean hands? Think of Psalm 15 as well, where it is similarly asked, who may dwell in your holy hill? Answer is, he who walks uprightly and works righteousness and speaks the truth in his heart, who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor. He who honors those who fear the Lord, who swears to his own hurt and does not change, and so forth. Indeed, who is worthy to take this scroll out of the hands of the mighty God, the creator of heaven and earth? Possibly can take that honor. The apostle John, recognizing that there appears to be no one, weeps. His weeping may be compared to how we confess in Lord's Day 5 of the Heidelberg Catechism, that God will have his justice satisfied. And then the question arises, what kind of deliverer and mediator do we need then? The answer is, one who is mighty God and yet true and righteous man at the same time. Both God and man. Humanly speaking, it appears impossible to find that kind of mediator and deliverer. The weeping of the Apostle John should move and strike us, because it certainly shows and continues to declare that really our circumstances as people on this earth in God's creation have become impossible. We are doomed. Who can deliver us from our iniquity and transgressions? Like we asked there in the Catechism, can we ourselves make this payment? The answer is no, we cannot. Because whenever we try, we make things even worse. Can some other creature be found? No, God will not punish another creature for the sins that man has committed. By way of this vision and these words, made very clear to John that we are in very great and deep trouble. reflecting on how the Lord chose this vision to the Apostle John, certainly remains as a good reminder to each one of us. Each one of us, that we do not just simply take for granted, oh yes, Christ has come, God delivers us, no problem. It was a real big problem. And certainly a big problem that no human could solve. God is a mighty God, all honor and glory is due to Him. He created all things. He's Lord of lords and King of kings. He's exalted over everything and everyone. Who indeed can stand, and who can open the scroll? Who can proceed so that God's plan concerning this world can unfold? We're told that there was no one initially found worthy, and that John wept much, hopeless, appeared to be hopeless. However, while everything appeared to be hopeless, we're told that one of the elders said to John, John speaking, says, one of the elders said to me, do not weep. Come to our second point. Insisting that the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David, has prevailed to open the scroll and to loose its seven seals. It looked hopeless. And one might say it was hopeless. Hopeless here for the inhabitants of the earth. Very striking. That is one of the elders that said this to the Apostle John. Elders, one thinks of men, the earth. And notice as well what he says. He says, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the root of David. Focusing attention to what has taken place on earth. The Lord in His great mercy has not abandoned men, but He Himself involved Himself directly. It was He who had directed the course of men and became Himself directly involved with them. Think of how the end of His life, we are told in Genesis, Jacob blessed his 12 sons, in a particular way focused on Judah. A lion's whelp, he had said. He had spoken about how the scepter would not be taken out of his hand. The kingdom would continue there, in him and among him. Already at that time, was revealed as a blessing. The Lord will not forsake his people. By speaking to us in this way, we are again reminded of it. Maybe suggested that the Lord grants that we escaped, to use the words spoken by Job, by the skin of our teeth, just by the nick of it. The Lord, in his great mercy, did intervene. He intervened among mankind and had promised, affirmed a lion, the tribe of Judah. He is found worthy to open the scroll and lose its seals. Notice as well that when his name is mentioned, John looked and behold, in the midst of the throne and of the four living creatures, and in the midst of the elders stood a lamb. A lamb. So it had been slain, because it is living now, having seven horns and seven eyes, which are the seven spirits of God. A lamb. A lamb sacrificed on the altar. It has the seven spirits of God, like we are told at the beginning of these visions. The seven spirits. From him and through him, this renewing power and energy comes forth. He takes the scroll out of the hand who sits on the throne. He takes the scroll out of the hand of the mighty God. And when hearing that he does so, does it not begin to dawn on us as well how the Lord had been busy working behind the scenes, one might say, all the time already? God was there with his plan and his work. And now that plan is put into the hands of the Lamb who has died, does it not give the possibility to open the seals so that God's plan concerning this earth may unfold like the battle plans? We speak in this context and in this way because of the nature of the scroll, as has already been mentioned. Sealed scrolls brought to the battlefield. We also speak this way because the Lord did reveal the message of salvation in the past, but only to a certain extent. We are told in the first letter of Peter, when Christ was here on earth, things have been revealed, a message into which angels had longed to look, showing that the Lord had not fully made known to them Christ's work and what he would do. Do we not often overlook the fact that the message of salvation and the way the Lord would work it out was hidden in the past? Yes, the Lord spoke about it, gave the promise. But exactly how it would all turn out and how the Lord would accomplish it had not been fully revealed. For do we not also read and are told about how if the devil had known that by way of Christ's death salvation would be given, would it not have happened? Did this out of his ignorance, God not revealing the full measure of his battle plans? But the Lamb has come, and he has offered himself up. And now we may see behind the scenes what has been taking place. The Lord God, in his mighty, holy, perfect way, sending his Son into this world, so he became one with us in flesh and blood. He is worthy to take hold of that scroll. And therefore, the battle plans can carry on. It can go on to the end of ages. The following chapters where we are told about the breaking of these seals and the opening of the scroll, it becomes evident that God's plan for this earth continues to unfold. Yes, when these seals are broken, it does show the terrible warfare continues. The context of how in the beginning, after the fall into sin, the Lord had declared enmity between the seed of the woman and the seed of the serpent. That warfare and battle continues. But now it continues in the context of the one who has been found worthy to execute the battle plans in its full way, and one might say, has already executed them, because it is a Lamb who has been slain. And the seven eyes, the seven spirits of God, the might of his victory shining forth into this world. Again, consider John, the Apostle John, there on the island of Patmos being persecuted. Think of how the seven churches, representative of the churches of all ages, are struggling, particularly the New Testament church. Continue, and one at times wonders, will the church survive and continue? How blessed it is that by way of this vision we receive the assurance the Lamb is there, and he is found worthy to open the scroll. And therefore, even though when we look at things on this earth and among the churches at times, we lose heart and wonder, really wonder, will we survive? Will the battle plans be fulfilled completely? We receive assurance in this way that really Christ already has gained the victory, and it may now unfold to the end of ages. It is this context that some suggest that the scroll contains the names of those whom the Lord has chosen as his own, gathers them now together as his people, and does so on the worthiness of the Lamb who was slain. Therefore, in the third place, we also notice how, in response to the Lamb taking the scroll of the hand of the messenger, The four living creatures and the 24 elders, our third point, fall down before the Lamb, each having a harp and golden bowls full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints. And they sing a new song. Notice that expression. They sing a new song. For the other song that we heard, chapter 4, focuses all attention on God as the mighty creator of everything. But now the focus is on the Lamb. You are found worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you are slain. You have redeemed us to God by your blood, out of every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. How blessed this song really is. A new song, meaning a song of restoration, of revitalization. A song because it is praise and glory. One might say like an anthem for the citizens of the kingdom of God. They're in heaven. It is already well known. Then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne, the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000, 10,000 times 10,000, thousands upon thousands, innumerable, all proclaiming, "Worthy is the Lamb who was slain to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing." One word is piled on top of the next to express thankfulness, honor, the place of this Lamb that was slain. The Lion of Judah, the Root of David. Great blessing that the Lord has granted. Such kind of king among mankind here on earth, by sending his Son in the form of our human flesh and blood, born from the line of David. He is a king, worthy of all honor. And notice too, the conclusion of chapter 5, we are told that every creature which is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, and such as are in the sea, and all of them that are in it, I heard saying, "Blessing, honor, and glory, and power be to him." Every creature, everywhere. Yes, also those that will receive eternal punishment are compelled to acknowledge that all honor and glory and power belong to him. All honor and power belong to him. Those under the earth, those destined for eternal punishment, will be dismayed. But at the same time, they have to acknowledge that he is the victor. Foreshadowing the completion of all things, we as churches may continue to embrace this great knowledge and privilege that we have this kind of Redeemer. The beginning. God created heaven and earth, created man and created everything wonderful and beautiful. We were to honor him by the work of our hands, by tilling the garden, by being fruitful and multiply. Live to the praise and honor of his great and holy name, we've rebelled, deserving punishment and eternal rejection. The Lord has intervened and has given us a Lamb, a Savior. And our focus is in a particular way on him today, on the redemption. Yes, from every place of the world, from every tribe and tongue and people and nation, and has made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on earth. We may continue on as God's children and churches, that confidence, with that assurance. Therefore, even though, like reflected in the letters written to the seven churches of Asia, looks at times miserable among God's people, continues to look that way at times. And at times we might wonder too, what is happening to the church? What is happening among us as God's children? At times we seem weak and small and insignificant. But here we are speaking about the mighty God, creator of heaven and earth, who did not abandon his work, but has granted us a Redeemer and Savior, a Lamb in the person of his own Son. Even though there may be a lot of opposition to this message, he already is firmly established. God's battle plan will continue on till the end of ages. It will continue to unfold, as evident from what we read in the following visions, until Christ returns, fully redeems us, and the new Jerusalem comes down from heaven, and we may be united in a perfect way with the Lord our God. Therefore, do not lose heart, but hold on to the knowledge of your Redeemer and Savior. Know him to be the Lamb worthy. Take the scroll and open its seals. God's plan for salvation comes to fruition. It will be fully executed. Do not be afraid. Hold on to this great message. Amen. We sing together hymn 27, the stanzas 1, 2, 3, 4, and 5.
Glory, pass above, grace.
The Constituent passed on the following announcements, namely, there's been a request for an attestation to the Free Reformed Church of Bunbury for family Carlos and Rosalind Huizinga. And you're reminded of the Men's Bible Study Club, session number 2 on discipline and church order. Meeting will take place, the Lord willing, Tuesday at 7:45 p.m. Home visits for this week, the Lord willing, family W. Eilander, Monday at 7:30 p.m. We will now unite in prayer. In prayer this morning, we remember Brother Tony Kreiner, who has been transferred to Fairhaven after having taken a turn for the worse and is in need of full-time care. Let us unite in prayer. Almighty, faithful God and Father, we thank and praise you for the great blessing of salvation. You have granted us your own well-beloved Son, as our Redeemer and Savior. We thank you that he was found worthy to open the scroll and break the seals. By having considered him to be worthy, you affirm to us that he completed his work in a perfect way. He was perfectly obedient in everything, also in his suffering and death. We thank you, Lord, that he has taken the full measure of our punishment for sin upon himself. How blessed we are that we may rest assured that your plan for salvation, the battle plan, continues to unfold, and we may look forward to its completion at the end of the ages. We thank you, Lord, for this great blessing and great revelation. Strengthen us that we may already today adore you as the mighty Creator and your Son as our Redeemer and Savior. Yes, grant that we may adore him and praise him for the great work that he has accomplished. For we also recognize and realize from your word that there will be those that will be compelled to acknowledge his victory, but will be eternally condemned. Pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us, that we may be confident in his victory for us as your people. We thank you that you continue to speak to us as churches. For indeed, when we consider even our own life, we acknowledge that each one of us are hopeless. We need your help. And also as churches, combined together as your children, in ourselves we are hopeless as well. We've proven it again and again. The warnings that you have given to your churches of Asia remain just as applicable to us today. Lord, we are very thankful that you have not taken the light from among us, but that you grant that it may continue to shine. Strengthen us that we may continue to put our confidence and trust in your faithfulness. Lord, pray you will work mightily among each one of us. Grant that we do not doubt Christ's redeeming work. Pray that you will strengthen us and encourage us with this knowledge. For Lord, when we consider the brokenness of men in so many different and various ways, at times we are inclined to despair. And Satan continues to sow his seeds of doubt. Sows the seeds of doubt concerning you and the message of salvation throughout our entire life, whether we are young or old. Think of Brother Kreiner in a particular way. For at times, Lord, we see our flesh, also our mind, breaking down, saddens us, makes us feel hopeless, makes us recognize how dependent we are. At times, Lord, it is almost like falling into a pit, bottomless, falling and falling. But Lord, you are the mighty God. You hold us up in your mighty arms. Give us the message of hope, of the future. Even though among us, at times it seems empty and hopeless, we thank you that you let us look behind the scenes to know that you remain the mighty God, creator of heaven and earth, and that you, as the mighty God, have given us a Lamb who is worthy to open the seals. Pray, Lord, that you will strengthen us in our faith. Grant that also this morning we may have been moved by the knowledge of your great and wonderful deeds. And grant that we may continue to be moved by your work for our salvation whenever we read your word, whenever we are busy studying it, like at men's club and at the various Bible study clubs that we have. Grant, Lord, that it may be taught as well to our children. Thank you for the schools, for the catechism classes. Pray that you will be busy granting that knowledge may continue on. Pray also that you will grant that the minister and elders, the office bearers, may be busy directing us according to that path. Lord, we're all bound to slip and fall. And at times, there are those that are put under discipline because they've turned away. Lord, that too is an instrument that you use to call your children to repentance. Pray, Lord, that you will grant that repentance. We acknowledge that all these things are done with human weaknesses. The preaching, the admonition given by the elders, the work of the deacons, the discipline. Lord, at times we can poke holes into the things that men do. Lord, we trust that you will accomplish what you are set and determined to accomplish. You have accomplished salvation through the brokenness of sinful men who have crucified Christ. And in that way, our curse has been laid upon him. So wonderful, Lord, we cannot fully comprehend it either. But we pray that you will grant that those who have been censured may come to repentance. We thank you of the Pentecost day when many did repent. Pray, Lord, that you will grant that many who have gone astray or become confused may recognize the rich blessing of salvation that they are neglecting. Pray, Lord, that you will grant that your children may turn their attention away from the weaknesses of men, but turn them on you as the mighty creator, as redeemer and savior. Pray that you'll be this way with us and all your churches. Lord, we remain confident you will preserve us, your people, to the end of ages. We pray that you will hear us and accept our gratitude. Call upon you in the name of our Redeemer, the Lamb was slain, Christ. Amen. We will now continue to express our gratitude to the Lord for the blessing that are revealed in the vision that we have heard this morning, singing stanzas 6, 7, and 8 of hymn 27. receive the blessing of the Lord and go in peace. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.